Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns, coming at you a little bit late tonight. My name's Jill. I am here with Lance and Lulu, our favorite worms.
Good evening.
Good evening. And we've got Jeff and Rick in the studio. Thanks for helping us out. It's KVNF's gardening show, and this is a call-in show. So we invite you all to ring us up, 527-486-8161, 866-KVNF now. And Lance and Lulu will take your questions, comments, tidbits. What's going on in the garden besides mud and some maybe cold hands?
Cold hands, yes.
Cold hands.
Oh, yeah, cold hands. My goodness.
You know, Lance said to me this morning, this is what reminds you that gardening can be miserable.
Cold, wet hands.
Yeah.
And, right.
And wet, muddy feet.
Right.
Muddy knees.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I had some plants kind of blow over the other day with that big windstorm.
You had a windstorm.
Oh, yeah. That sideways windstorm going on here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and if you have moist ground and you have a big wind, it can blow things over.
Yeah. Blew over a tomato plant. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The end of the tomatoes for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the end, too. But boy, they're still putting on.
Yeah.
You know,
still
just
I pulled mine.
You pulled yours?
Yeah. And
I
had enough, and I picked the ripe ones, and I hung the rest up. So I do have them.
Hey, let me ask you about that, Lance, because I've heard of that and actually tried that several years ago, is pulling that plant out of the ground, hanging it upside down in my garage to let those tomatoes ripen on the vine.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be better. I think it'd be better in a warmer spot. How cold is if your garage is getting cold, and you might want sunlight.
Right.
But yeah, you do want to. You can hang. You do hang them up, and they will eventually ripen. Take the ones that are really green. They're not going to. But the ones that are
small and green and
yeah,
hard,
the full size, maybe a tint of red in them.
Right.
And they'll ripen up.
So you could pull that now, or you could wait till maybe the potential of a frost is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The later, the better.
Right. Yeah. Later, the better.
But it does work. I mean, if you, I roots and all is what, do you do that?
Yeah.
I do too. Uh-huh. Yeah. And you just hang them up in the basement, and it's great. Some of them take a long time, but they still come on.
Yeah. One year, my friend Jan took a currant tomato out of my garden and took it all the way to Gunnison. And she does piano lessons for the elementary school kids.
Uh-huh.
And that lasted for 2 months.
Oh, really?
Those little currant tomatoes are about the size of a marble.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And really, really good flavor.
Oh, yummy. And that was Jan that was with us last week. Gardening up in Gunnison, high altitude gardening.
Okay, and I dried some Sungolds tomatoes.
Ooh.
And they're like candy.
Uh-huh. And are they golden color?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They're beautiful, beautiful orangey, dark gold orange. And they're like candy. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's really a great variety of tomatoes I've seen around, sometimes at the orchard or the You Pick 'Em, where you could just pick a bowl of it's like a bowl of jelly beans. It's colorful.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. So that inspired me. So now I'm going to try and dry some Cherokees too.
Oh, nice.
See what happens.
Nice.
I think I'm going to cut them into quarters.
Uh-huh.
More sort of bite-sizable.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And dry them. What do you mean? Dehydrate?
Yeah, dehydrate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm sitting here meditating on it, though, thinking, I don't know.
I know. We're kind of winding down the season now and picking the last harvest, thinking about maybe bulbs and stuff.
Yeah,
is that what you're...
That's, I can't wait. That's my fave.
And you plant your bulbs in the fall?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Best time to plant is the fall?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's when, the only time pretty much. And then the garlic and all that, too.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking earlier about the calendar, and garlic is a root day you want to look for, right?
Yeah, the root day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's one coming up, in a couple of weeks, I think.
Actually, next weekend.
Next weekend.
Okay, so next weekend being this upcoming weekend?
Yep.
All right.
Friday, Saturday are root days. And then the whole weekend, the next weekend, is all root.
Okay.
And then the very last 2 days of
October
are root days.
All right. So plenty of opportunities to do your garlic.
Yeah.
And what else are we looking for on a root day?
Oh, if you're going to harvest your root crops or most crops for winter storage, you do it on a root day.
Okay.
And the water is down low. It's not a water sign. I don't quite understand that, but the root day, it's better times for long-term storage.
So that sort of works for planting and storage?
How come that it's kind of counterintuitive, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it just, the planting calendar is designed for planting, and mm-hmm. they are experimenting with when to harvest things.
Okay.
And harvest for long-term storage is done best on a root day.
Okay.
You can do it anytime.
Uh-huh.
But the best days are on a root day.
And would that be a potato thing?
Yeah.
Digging up your potatoes?
Digging up the potatoes, mm-hmm. digging up carrots or beets.
Right.
The kohlrabi. I have kohlrabi and radishes for winter storage. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's...
Huh. But yeah. I like to wait till they get a frost on them.
Right, because sometimes that frosty thing helps the
brings
flavor.
It brings up the
sugars.
Right.
Yeah, the sugar content gets higher.
Right.
The Concord's finally got sweet. My Concord's
finally
got sweet, even with all this rain. So there you go.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Let's hear what's going on in your almost winter garden. 527-486-8186 KVNF now. What are you storing out there and harvesting for?
Yeah, what great ideas. I'm always impressed with how people have great ideas about things that, you know, that's the whole point of having a call-in talk show, is that you can really share some stuff that you've done that works for you.
Yeah.
So give us a call. Don't wait until the last minute, you know.
That's right. You know how that goes.
You know how that goes. Then you get cut off. It's not good.
Right.
So, yeah, give us a call.
Yeah, give us a call. And speaking of winter storage, you got a lot of seed storage going on, right?
I do have a lot of seed storage.
You harvested some stuff this week.
I've harvested the onion seeds, which was New York Early's. Lettuce was Black Seeded Simpson. Beets, Detroit dark red, parsley, which was just the curly parsley. No, it was the Italian flat parsley.
Mm-hmm.
And the carrots at Danver Halfons. And the carrots, I just got tired of. There was so much still on there, but I already had 3 5-gallon buckets of carrot seed.
Whoa, hello.
I didn't want to supply all of Western Stulp, so I said, no more, and pulled them out.
That is what's up, Doc.
Yeah. That's enough carrot seed for about 10 years.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Lance, you're going to feed the valley. I love it.
That's what I say. Just let Lance grow your carrots. Is
right.
there someone on the line?
There is. Daniel
on
Redlands Mesa has a question about melons. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, everybody. I've been enjoying the show. Glad it's been on.
Great. Go ahead.
What is good? How is a good way to tell your watermelons are ripe?
Just
spot on the underneath?
There's...
Great question.
The underside turns yellow instead
right.
of a white or pale to yellow. And then where the stem attaches to the plant, there's a curlicue there opposite it. That dries up.
Where the blossom was.
Not
right.
The stem from the vine to the watermelon. Beyond that, on the opposite side of that stem is a curlicue.
Mm. And when the curly gets crisp.
Yeah, that dries up. And then there's the sound test, which I'm not very good at.
That's the one I've done all my life. I wanted to add to my repertoire.
Yeah, so there's the yellow on the underside, that curlicue opposite of the stem coming from the vine to the watermelon.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Do you do melons up as high as you are?
I do melons, and I plant them from seed in the garden. This year I had moon and stars.
How's your cantaloupe behavior this year?
The cantaloupe was actually really good. The problem for me in cantaloupe is I plant 4 hills, and they're all ready at once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So how do you eat
now
them
what
all?
Do you do? Yeah.
And I grow one called Heogen is the main one. It's it's a green-fleshed, super sweet. And a half of one is a good serving, but I usually, because I have so many, I eat the whole thing.
Yeah, you got to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got one plant. It's maybe 30 feet by 20 feet, and it's just bustling, blooming right along.
Uh-huh.
This morning, it's still blooming.
It's still blooming now. Have you got ripe fruit off of it?
Not yet. I've got many little ones. I'm saying, come on, frost is up right behind you guys.
Yeah. I would take the little ones off and let
the
big
ones come.
Ripe. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and you might have to put a tarp And if you do put a tarp over it, don't use plastic.
No plastic.
No, blankets.
Blankets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good call.
Blankets, canvas. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, stuff that'll breathe.
Wait.
You got another question?
One more thing. I'm on the line. Harvesting and flowers. Is there, have you got your days marked for flower type harvestings?
Would that be a fruit day, Lance?
Are you flowering for seed?
No, the THC bearing flowers.
That's a whole different category.
Oh, uh-huh.
I was just curious if you've got a calendar going with that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'd have to figure out. It's probably the flowers, but it's probably a fruit day.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me.
What are you thinking there, Lulu? You've got your brain working.
Yeah, my brain's going. I would think it would be a fruit day, too, because you're looking for that nice, ripe...
You want your sugar
ripe
to have
bud. Let's just get real. Yeah, you want that nice, full, ripe bud. So you want...
Fruit development.
You want full development of the bud. And so the little stigmas start to turn brown on top, but they stay kind of white on the bottom, and you start at the bottom, looking at the bottom of the bud to see what kind of development you're getting, if you're still getting flower development.
When it's completely done, you see it at the bottom.
You see the little stigmas turn, and the part of the flower that's not in the calyx. Is starting to turn a bit too. You can also look at the little trichomes.
Yes, get a little magnification on there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
But there's so many different schools of thought on that. I mean, you know, who knows?
Ken Gardner's Ken theory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once again, praise for the show, and thanks for the information.
Thanks for your call, Daniel.
Yeah. Bye. Thanks.
Great. Carry on. Thanks. Thanks so much. And great, we've got another caller on the line, and it's Jane, and she wants to talk about something you've been doing today, Lance, and that's carrots. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Yeah. Lance knows me. Yeah. He knows me. Garden. And I've asked him this question, but I had great success in Boulder where we had a bigger snowfall cover by leaving my carrots in the ground. And I didn't even put hay or anything on them because the cover was really good, and I would just go out, move the snow, and pull some fresh sweet carrots all winter. And I haven't done that here because our winters, I think, are a little bit too dry. But I was just wondering what the comments would be about that. I think Lance, you said some people put hay on top of them.
Yeah. Some people mulch hay, but first you got to cut the tops off.
Yeah.
And the reason why is you leave the tops on, and then you put hay on top of that. It's the perfect home for the mice.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And that, okay. And that's why. Or yeah. And the, even a next step, if you want to get that a little better, is to cut the tops off and then throw some dirt on top.
Yeah.
And those shoulders, because they'll eat those shoulders off.
Mm-hmm. See, you didn't have that problem when there's a huge snow on
no,
top of it.
No, you didn't.
So it's really would be hard around here.
Yeah. And I stopped doing that because of the rodent problem.
Yeah.
If you have lots of cats, you know, and stuff like that, you're not going to have that rodent problem.
But, you know, I've got lots of rodents and no cats. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay. That's it.
Okay.
Thanks, Jane.
Sure, bye.
Thanks for your call. Great. 527-486-8166, KVNF Now. We love taking your calls. And today you were really working the carrots, Lance.
I was working. I got another 40 pounds out of the ground.
Ooh.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Early this morning you were thinking about cleaning those in your bathtub.
Yeah. Well, I wanted some warmer water, but then.
Right.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Get out there early.
I've done that where you mulch the carrots in. Not here, but I did it in Carbondale, and it was real successful.
Mm-hmm. It works really good, and if you have no other way to do it, I said just cut those things.
Yeah, that was my deal. I didn't have a root cellar or anything like that, so I just.
And if you are going to do that, you start with about 12 inches or more of mulch.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
that's a lot. Thick mulch.
Because it's going to settle down, And if you don't do that, I would say if you could get 18 inches on, because, and then if you really wanted to make it even better, put, that's when you put a plastic tarp on top, because all that moisture settles and it, the ground can get so wet that it could possibly rot the carrots. But if you keep that, then
that
you have
barrier between the plastic and the ground with all that mulch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that will work.
Now, you mentioned earlier when we were talking to Daniel about not putting plastic on your garden, using blankets, and that's the preferred way to go for frost.
Frost. Plastic, any leaf that's touching the plastic is going to get frozen.
It conducts the cold in rather than...
Now, if you want to put blankets down and it's going to rain or snow, put plastic on top of the blankets to keep them from getting wet.
Right.
That's perfectly okay. But anything that's touching the plant really needs to be some sort of cloth.
And generally, what is the frost date? Varies, or is there something that you kind of generally go by?
When I first moved here, it was September 15th.
Oh, hello.
And I've only seen that happen once in the 20, 30 years I've been here. So things have changed, and you know, it's probably late September, early October.
I haven't had any frost bother my garden big time in September at all.
Right.
And when I lived in Carbondale, it was you were lucky if you got to September 1st.
Sure, sure. So tomorrow being October, we should have our sheets and blankets ready.
I got them ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm even going to cover anything. I might just let it go.
Might just be the right time.
Yeah. Right? Well, my pintos didn't like this rain.
No.
The fall pintos.
Uh-huh.
And so I will have to cover those to get them. But it sounds like it's not going to really, it's going to get close, but not freeze the next 2 days.
Right, right.
And, then dry out, and I'll be okay for another week.
Right. Yeah.
Most of what I have left is can take the frost. I always plant endive, and that can take a frost. I'm going to harvest my last growing of dandelion greens and dry those. The squash can say bye-bye. The tomato can say bye-bye. And everything else is okay.
You've harvested what you need. And
what else do I have out there? Sorrel, arugula, beets, collards, kale.
And fall greens love this weather. That's what you were saying, Lance.
Yeah. Oh, they love it.
Yeah, it's the sugar thing again, isn't it?
Yeah, it's your cool, wet weather like this. And, they just grow like mad.
Right.
I planted extra spinach and I can't keep up with it.
And the broccoli report, we have broccoli.
I'm so glad to hear it. Finally, the heads have formed and
finally.
Lulu has her broccoli.
Yeah, and all the little side heads are forming. It's great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got Bill on Wakefield Mesa that has a question for the worms. That's you too.
Okay.
Hi, Bill.
Hi there. We're up at 6,800 feet, right by your radio tower.
Okay.
And we had a phenomenon this year that I don't understand. We had about 30 feet, maybe a little less, of a row of beans. And we've so far gotten 2 bushels from them. We've never seen anything like that. What happened this year?
Wow.
Were they bush beans?
Were they what?
Bush beans or pole beans?
Well, green beans, I can't tell you.
Well,
They're little plants.
Okay, bush beans.
Right, so they weren't on a big stem or, I mean, they weren't on a lattice work or trellis or something.
Nope.
Yep, so they're bush.
Yeah.
So what happened? Yeah. How did we do that?
Well, I don't know what variety you planted.
Sarah, do you know the variety? Jade.
Jade beans.
Yeah, I've never planted that.
They're about 8 inches long.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
2 bushels in a month.
You know,
three beans on one plant.
Yeah. Did you fertilize them well?
We didn't do anything like that.
The only other thing I can think of is that they got really good bacteria that attaches to them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The bacteria that attaches to legumes.
We do mow in some stuff into the ground.
And
every
maybe
year.
It just got the perfect timing.
Wow.
Yeah, you lucked out. And I think that variety also is very prolific.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I saw it in one of my seed catalogs and was almost seduced by it.
Oh, okay.
But I like pole beans, so.
Yeah. The other thing, it wasn't that extreme hot summer.
No, and, there wasn't. And we had a lot of rain and a lot of cool, warm
yes.
in the end here.
And I had read in one of my seed-saving books that if it's too hot, the male part of the bean flower dies.
Well, we didn't have any of that.
So we didn't have any of that. So you had the full production.
Mm-hmm. But wait a minute. Look, the last few weeks we've had some really hot weather.
Yeah, but I'm saying...
Yeah, but not hot enough. Not all day.
Not all day. Well, when there is, they say 90, 95, it has to be that starting
in
the morning.
No, we didn't get that. That's right.
And it has to go all the way into the evening.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're having. It got up in the 90s,
okay,
and then it got
well,
down into the 50s or 60s.
2 bushels from 30 feet.
That's Woo-hoo! Great.
Wow, that's
Score.
Awesome. Yeah.
Jade, maybe that's the one to use.
There
and
you
that's
go.
It.
All right.
If you're at 6,800 feet, you have to.
Well, enjoy those beans,
yeah.
Bill.
Yeah,
I'm jealous.
Yeah, we're enjoying.
Good job.
Yeah.
And we're throwing them into a... cars down in town. And
no zucchini, just green beans.
No zucchini.
Awesome.
Right, okay.
Awesome.
Great. Thanks
Take
for
care,
your
folks.
Call.
Thank you.
Thanks
Bye.
So much. All right. Some great callers tonight. Good information. Yeah. And 527-486-8166, KVNF now is the number to call. And boy, beans.
Yeah, beans. Gosh.
I wanted to mention my popcorn.
Mention your popcorn, man. Please do.
Yeah, well, the popcorn I mentioned would had 3 to 5 years per plant. I ended up with, once I harvested it, is one wheelbarrow and about 8 5-gallon buckets full of ears.
Whoa, hello.
And so I've hung about, set aside about 60, a little over 60 for seed, and I just hang those, and those are actually my winter decoration on the windows in the house. And all the rest are hanging on to dry.
Uh-huh.
Because you just can't pick popcorn, take it off the cob, and pop it.
No.
You have to let
you
sit
have to
for
let it dry.
Dry out another 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's so it's drying there.
So did you husk it?
I pulled the husk off, and I tied it with that husk on. I didn't break the husk off.
Mm-hmm.
And
And then you shredded something.
I cut all the stalks down,
mm-hmm.
and I ran that through the shredder. And it's if anybody's been near a fresh silage pit, that's what it smells like right now.
Oh, okay.
Because corn stalks, they let it ferment, and it gets to a certain point, and that brings up the protein content, and they don't let it get any farther somehow, mm-hmm. the farmers, and that's what they feed cows from time to time. It's not a main crop, main
okay.
food.
Okay. Interesting.
But yeah, it makes a compost really a lot faster.
Do you produce a turd?
Yeah.
There you go. Do you eat popcorn all winter? I mean,
I'm still eating popcorn from 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I have a little bit left.
All right. So.
Oh, awesome. And it didn't dry out, so it's still popping. And you
it's
must
still
be good.
Popping. And yeah. if you have the space, you store the popcorn or any grain, but popcorn or field corn on the cob.
Okay.
It stores way, way better.
Lasts longer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I've done. And so I can take it off the cob. You know, one cob is the perfect meal. And it pops really good.
Awesome.
The perfect meal. I like
awesome,
that.
Right? Yeah,
sometimes
I never
popcorn just does yeah. hit the spot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of chopping things down and shredding and composting, you had some major chop down work on those sunflowers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually had to take an axe to them.
Wow.
Yeah,
I had to use my pruning saw.
Yeah.
And I left some of them because the birds are still just loving them. Oh, my gosh.
The birds are going crazy in your yard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the birds are having a field day. They ate most of the remaining elderberries, and they ate all the apple grapes, and they're knocking... The tree I call Big Mama only had about a dozen apples on this year, and the birds are after those big time.
Yeah, they just
I hope they
beat you to
one
it.
For me. Just one.
Yeah, well, those turkeys think just because I leave the door open that they can come in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if I'm in there or not. They
they go for it. They see it open
it.
And
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
well,
those turkeys.
You know what that means?
Yeah.
Yeah, turkey dinner.
Turkey dinner. Thanksgiving's right around the corner.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a lot of potatoes in the ground still, Lance.
I still haven't harvested my potatoes. One reason is because I have no cold storage for them at this point. And I'll start this weekend. And, there's probably 200 to 300 pounds in there.
That's a lot of potatoes. And how do you store those? What's cold storage to you?
Well, potatoes don't want to be 32 degrees. They want about 36 to 40 at most. And they want about 80% humidity.
Wow, that's pretty high humidity.
Eventually, I put them in my garden room with the windows open. And I put sheets or blankets over them. And I put buckets of water around them for the humidity.
For the humidity?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's how they go through the winter?
Yeah, I'm still eating potatoes usually in April and May from the year before.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's also variety. Some varieties won't last like that, but the German butterballs last pretty long like that. And then I have a fingerling, one of the fingerlings, roasted apple fingerling. And it actually stores for quite a while. And that's actually the last one I'm usually eating.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't been watering your potatoes for a long time now.
For over a month.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's...
Right, letting them dry out.
Right, letting them dry out.
Yeah, and this rain can't get... the mulch is still 6 to 8 inches deep.
Okay, on top of the potatoes.
Yeah, so they can't get through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had another half inch of rain last night.
I mean, you did, but I didn't.
Oh, huh.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's not that far away.
No, but I was so surprised when I looked in the rain gauge this morning.
Yeah, a half an inch, I wouldn't guess that.
It's been amazing. I mean, I think we've had like 3 inches of rain in this last cycle.
Right.
That's a lot.
There's your mud problem
mud problem. No kidding. This one part of my garden is like slimy. I don't even want to go in there, man. It's bad. It's bad.
Hey, we've probably got time for a couple more calls. Oh, nope. Two-minute warning. So if you can get your call in right now, 527-486-8186 KVNF now. Oh, I want to talk about mowing. Are you done mowing yet, Lance?
No.
No.
One more time.
One more. Hey.
Yeah.
Not
one more
me.
Time.
I think I'm done.
You're done.
I'm just going to let it get lay on the ground and get whatever.
Yeah.
I'll mow one more time and then I'll run it out of gas.
And that's that.
It.
Right.
That's
right.
It.
Oh, yeah. Run the mower out of gas.
Run it out of gas. Mm-hmm. I got to ride my scooter around and run it out of gas.
Yeah, you're almost done with scooter weather.
I know. Yeah. It's so
sad. The fall peas. I picked 4.5 pounds the other day. The green beans I planted for a fall crop aren't doing that well.
No, my beans didn't do anything, and the peas are in the slime pit.
Oh.
So they're not happy.
All right. I think we might have a caller on the line. Are you there, caller?
Hi.
Hi. Who are you speaking with?
This is Emma from Hotchkiss.
Hi, Emma. What's your question?
I have a question. We have a variety of tomatoes. It's about about 2 inches across. It's a Jean Franc. And I'm wondering how small I should cut them to dehydrate them.
Mm. Good question.
Good question. I was thinking about that when you we were talking about dehydrating the Cherokee purples. Do you have a dehydrator?
I have a solar dehydrator, and then I also have a plug-in one that we can leave on for
forever. I would be looking at about 1/4 inch, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, 1/4 inch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
1/4 inch, okay. Yeah. And would you, I feel like, rainy, should I leave them in the plug-in dehydrator, or would you suggest the solar?
I would. I did the little sun golds or whatever they are at 135 degrees for 24 hours, and it worked like a charm.
Okay, great.
Yeah, tomatoes are very easy to dry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Great. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Emma. And we're going to take one more call. We've got Max in Montrose and just has some comments about his garden. What's going on, Max?
Well, I just wanted to let everybody know that we just finally let our chickens out today.
Oh, good for you.
They're happy.
And they are just so excited. We have birds all the time. We don't use anything around, but we have a lot of millions of birds, like migratory stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we use Remay because we have still some kale and stuff going on, and we know the bird, the chicken, if they found that kale, that would be it.
That would be
right,
it.
Right.
Yep, they love
nothing
it.
Happening. But no, they're just walking around going, oh my God, look at this. We've been waiting for this for like months. Yep.
Chicken you know? Heaven, yeah.
Yep. I can't wait to let
mine
out.
Just for everybody to know, the more birds and things you have, you're going to diminish all problems you have within your garden. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Birds.
Yep.
Yeah,
weeds,
I like that.
They eat weeds, seeds, and eat bugs.
We have like 8 different varieties of birds that show up, and they just go up and clean this and that and this and that. You let the chickens out when the tomatoes are good? Nope. No chickens. No tomatoes.
Nope. Can't do it.
Nope.
Right.
But
well,
right now, yeah. No, it's great. So, yeah, I just wanted to make a comment that, you know, September 30th, we turn the chickens loose.
Woo-hoo! All right, go chickens. Thank you, Max. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Max. That's awesome.
We'll talk to you later.
All okay. Right. Bye. Right.
Bye.
All right. Thanks to all of our callers tonight. Some great questions and comments, tidbits. And thanks, as always, to you, Lulu and Lance. And we will be back next week.
Fellow worms.
Fellow worms. Yeah, thanks so much for listening.
Bye,
it's
everybody.
KB Night.
Pocket Mazda, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.